Good evening, everyone. First, I want to ask Mechila from all the rabbis who are here tonight that we won't be calling on all the rabbis to speak tonight. We will just have a few brief Dvar Torahs. Zeche Nishbas, our friend Zvi Altman. I knew Henry, as everybody else knew him, for over a half a century. First of all, we were neighbors. We lived in the same building. And in addition to that, we were chaverim. We davened in the same minyan, room 101, five-ish minyan, for all these years. I didn't know all of his family, but I knew several of his brothers who also were mispalalim in Armenian. Henry was a real ish tsanua. He was a modest individual to the nth degree. He sat in a little corner when he came to daven. If there was an appeal for a tzedakah, he never announced it. But his check was always the biggest check in the appeal. He used to tell me stories of his youth running from building to building, escaping from the Nazis during the Shoah, and how he took pride in fooling them so that he was able to bring back food to his fellow confinees. We're going to have three people to talk on behalf of this memorial, a member of the family, Rabbi Cohn, who taught us Shiurim, and Rabbi Reichman, who was Maradiyasra a good part of the years, and also a good friend of the Nifter. I would like to call on a member of the family. You're not here yet? Okay. All right. So I would like to call Rav Reichman to please say a few words.
Thank you very much, Ibn Nassim. Heschel, as we called him, he said was a tzanua. I want to say one short thing. In this week's parsha, we read the lengthy story of Eliezer, servant of Avraham, who goes and finds Rivka and brings her back as a wife. And the Torah spends tremendous amount of time. Usually the Torah is very, very terse. And Chazal noticed that one word in the Torah can teach us so many halachot. And here the Torah spends psukim, dozens of psukim, telling the story twice. Why is that story repeated so often? It's a very vague statement. Chazal say that the story is a great story. I was looking at the story of Rav the Sedra now, and I noticed something very strange. That Eliezer's name is not mentioned. He's described in the Torah with two descriptions. Either he's called Eved Avraham, or Stam Eved, or he's called Ha'ish, Ish Mishtoyla. It's a very strange thing that the name disappears, Eliezer's name disappears, and he's either called an Eved or an Ish. Why is the Torah use that? So I thought that really that the Torah is trying to tell us two aspects of Eliezer. Two aspects. One aspect is that he's Eved Avraham. He is totally loyal, absolutely loyal to his master and to his master's wishes and agenda. He has completely no self-interest in what he's doing. It's completely dedicated to fulfilling the Ratzon of Avraham. He's an Eved of Avraham, in his absolute, most committed sense of the word. And as being an Eved, he gets no honor. Avadim don't get honor. Avadim do what they're told, but they're not there to get any awards, plaques, assemblies with hundreds of thousands of people. An Eved does what he's supposed to do and has no honor at all. He does it because of his loyalty. It's completely not this nondescript. There's no personal name for the Eved. That's one thing. And that was Eliezer. He was an absolute Eved to Avraham. He did just what had to be done, completely and loyally, without any honor for himself. That's number one. On the other side, Eliezer is described as an Ish. An Ish in yeshivish jargon would say is a gavra. He's a gavra. Yeah. He's an Ish. He's something special. He's not just an Adam, a regular person. He's an Ish. Now, think about the word Ish. The word Ish, Vayisa le'ish, I think David tells Shlomo HaMelech, Vayisa le'ish, you'll be a real man. And ish is the word Ish, with a yud in the middle. So Ish is fire, tremendous power. And that yud was put into the middle because the yud is Shem Shemaim, is the Yud-Kei, the yud of God's name. And a person takes the energy and fire of being very strong, and he makes that Hashem's work. He puts that yud into the Eish, then he is in Tanakh, he is an Ish. He is an Ish. It's purposeful, fiery energy. And Eliezer needed that to be successful. Don't forget, he's going to the house of Besuel and Lavan, the head of the mafia in Iraq and Iran. They are the head. Murderers, thieves. And to get their daughter out without being killed is quite a feat. And for that you have to be an Ish. Very strong. And it's not a paradox. I think it's maybe... Adrabba, it's a synthesis. The Eved, nondescript, having no personal agenda, but being completely loyal to the outside agenda of Avraham, that releases him to have the fire and the power of an Ish. Because he's not at all encumbered and complicated by his own personal his own personal interests. In fact, Shem Shmuel says that Dafka, the Eli, he says, I have a daughter, that was a motivator for him not to be weak, but Adarabba, to fight even more to get Rivka so that he should conquer any personal interest for his own daughter. No, Faket, because he has a daughter, he must get Rivka even more. So that combination of being an Eved and being an Ish, maybe that's the model of what the ultimate person is. The ultimate person is an Eved Hashem, and he is an Ish Elokim. Like Moshe Rabbeinu. So, and that's why this story is repeated very much, because it's an everyday story. And it's a story of what the model is, of being an Eved and being an Ish. And we can say this, apply it to our dear beloved friend, the Pershul Zecher Tzadik Livracha. The man was an Eved Hashem. He was a person who was not interested in honor and getting recognition. He was loyal. There was absolute loyalty the way he was dedicated to this minion, the loyalty of his whole life, loyalty to his parents, his loyalty to his brothers, his family. He was an Eved in his commitment. That's on the one side. And on the other side, he was the Ish. He had that amazing, strong power, a fiery strength to stick to what's right, to stick to what's right. He was a man of very strong principles, a man of very strong principles, and he was very, very strong about them. You could not move him away. A lot of people try to have him change and move and do different things. He was very stubborn about what he knew was right. And I knew there was one topic I always loved talking to him about, was Eretz Yisrael, the tremendous love of Eretz Yisrael with a tremendous, powerful strength. So we know he's in Gan Eden, and as Mechanchim, we hope that we can raise and help raise children to be like this kind of a person. An Eved Elokim, an Eved Hashem, and an Ish Elokim.
Thank you, Rabbi Reichman. I'd like to call now on Rav Cohen, please. Say.
Mishnah in Perek Vav, Mishnah tests and others, tells us, Omar Vyosme Kisna, Pamachas Ois Mahalgo Derech, the rock and the road, the Poga Biyadim Echad, Nasan Lishon, Mukhazati Lishon. He greeted me and I greeted him back. Omar Lee, Rebbe, me is in Mokamato. Omar Tali, me Gido Shachacham Shasofer money. I come from a certain town, a certain place, where great Chachamim, Chachamim, Tami Chachamim. So he said to him, Omar Lee, Rebbe, Rasul Kishtar Imanim Bukumin, how about living here? We'd love to have you here. Ani etin lecho, ani etin lecho, elef, elef, and 3 years old. Avarim Thomas Margolis. I'll give you precious stones, money, wealth. Amarti lo bini, imatunosin li kol kesin azov, avarim Thomas Margolis should be old. Can't even imagine how much that would be. All the wealth in the world, all the silver, absolutely not. Any door ele b'mokam Torah, only in a mokam Torah. And if there could have gone to Miami, Florida, and stayed there, he went for business. He stayed there for a while. He could have stayed there. He didn't need, with all respect, to live over here on the 186th Street. He didn't have to on 87th Street. He didn't have to live here. Quite capable. Quite capable of davening in other places besides this room. 101 Shabbos, and during the week, the main base finish. And to have the sheer and learning every day with Rabbi Saul Balson for many years. A man that this is where I want to live. This is the mark. We should be mechazik ourselves, those that live here, and those that don't live here would want to live here for that reason. The Mokum Torah. And he didn't have too much Schar Licha. Schar Licha he didn't have. No Schar Licha. The man who was dedicated who said, he'll come here and clean up this room. Clean up this room, go back to Talisim and Sidurim. That's not for him. The janitor. This is what he did. The love of Shurim coming all the time and davening all the time. This was the Nifter. This was the Nifter. The Nifter that he wasn't, perhaps not a Talmud Chacham, but he was Mishamish a Talmud Chacham. Of David Lifshitz, Zachrin Sarach Ibracha, he would wait till the Rebbe. People came to the Rebbe and waited till he waited to take him. How far? Not to Masar Alicha. Across the street. He couldn't walk himself. Took him home and took him back the last years of his life and helped him put on tefillin. This was the Nifter. This is where I want to live. This is where I want to live. B'dafke here. B'dafke, the Makam of Torah. The Makam of Gedoli Torah. This is the Makam where I want to live. This is the Makam. And the Mishnah goes on and tells us, B'shas B'tirasa. What do we say about that person? A life, I was told as a boy, is give and take. Life is give and take. Give and take. He was a giver. Ava, from the word Avos, Hashem, Avos Abrius. Ava means hey, bub, hey, base, to give. Give him his time, his money. Said, the Panim of Yeshiva knows about him. They know about Henry Al. All the Panim of Yeshiva knows about him. Have to give. He gave and gave. That's love. Shas b'tirasa, shalodim ne'malabim lo lodim, lo kesev, lo zov, lo avodim toibis, margolius, lo torah maisim toivim lo. The Nifter knows no longer a giver. He's a taker. Yes, he said taker. He's taker of all his maisim toivim, of his learning, of his admiration for Golem, of his admiration to be in this yeshiva. His admiration, that's, he's a taker now, no longer a giver. And this is something that we can learn from this individual. And I want to close by saying, we mentioned this time of Shiva, that he wasn't married. He wasn't married, but he was a chassan. He was a chassan Torah. At that time, the Sukkot, a Chassan Torah. He was married to the Torah. A Chassan Torah. And that was his life. A Chassan Torah. And that kept him. That kept him. That gave him his brand, his determination, his stubbornness that was mentioned. Oh boy! We should emulate this. And the family that knew him, his nieces, his nephews, should have a picture. This was my uncle. This Gadol, this was my uncle. And what would the uncle want? The Kesef Azov. The Kesef Azov that he had, that he left. The Kesef Azov should be for Torah Mitzvahs. This is my uncle. We should all have a picture, especially the family, of the Gadol of our Mishpacha, of all the brothers, the one that took care of his parents, the one that took care of Gedolim, the one that lived in the Makom Torah. This is the Gadol. This, our uncle is the Gadol. To mention the name Gadol. Uncle the God. And this is from Herschel Svi of Henry Alt. Yehi Zecher Baruch.
I'd like to call a member of the family. David Truman.
I'm not supposed to speak. Okay. That's my brother-in-law's going to speak. Okay. I'm my brother-in-law's coming to speak. He's just with a little delay. He should be here in 2 minutes. He already parked the car. I'm just getting up here to thank everybody in this room and all the various people who were involved with my wife's uncle all the years. As everybody, we got numerous phone calls after the Patira. People just called up to tell us what kind of wonderful person he was and just how he lived his life. He had very little needs, and he just wanted to serve and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, serve people, and that's what he did. So I just want to thank Levi Mostovsky and Rabbi Cohen, Rabbi Rashman, and all the other people who helped arrange this event. And with that, I'm just going to ask my brother-in-law to say a few words. Okay. Ask my brother-in-law to say a few words for the occasion. Just want to thank all the various neighbors who always invited him and helped him, and especially Rabbi Rapp and Rabbi Friedman, Mr. Friedman, of course, who was his good friend. Could Mr. Chaim Shatner say a few words? Thank you.
Okay, hi. David said, I'm Chaim Shatner. I'm a nephew of Tzvi Hirsch and Shlomo Altman. And I was unable to attend the funeral as I was in Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov. So, for those who are here, for the benefit of those here, I'll give you a couple of minutes of the historical review of my uncle's life, whatever I do know, whatever, if not my sister will help me. Born in Vienna after his parents came from Poland after World War I. That's, I think they left like 1916, and he was probably born in the year of 1921, and they moved to Vienna, as many of those who were unsure of the political situation that was in Poland, and there ultimately they lived there until 1938, where. Course of what was going on in the world at 1938, they all left Vienna. In Vienna, he went through the typical Viennese education, which was a very an advanced education. I remember they always spoke about his ability. German that was spoken, the grammar, the difficulty of the grammar, the German grammar. And miraculously, an entire family came out of Europe in 1938, that he was one of eight siblings, and his parents, which I think was probably an astounding, something that was generally or almost impossible to fathom, that a entire family was intact came out of the Shoah and they ended up here in Washington Heights. Of course. After that, he found his vocation in the jewelry business, but I'm not sure everybody knows that, because he was a person who always kept to himself. As far as he was a tremendous listener, but not someone who is always spoke a lot about himself. And I think what I was giving some thought as to what I wanted to say, I think it's appropriately, although we are his family, appropriately I think that this shloshim is taking place right here in this room, which is actually his base medrash. And looking around the room, I see people of various ages. And I, for one, probably can say I know my uncle for 55 years, as I am today 60. But I'm sure the first few years of my life, I'd had that much of a relationship with him. But for the last 55 years, and there are those who are there who probably have known equally as long, but I see some people here who probably knew him far, far less. But irrelevant as to how long they knew him, I think if you met him for a very short time, you knew him in his essence as I knew him after 55 years. You could have met him for one or two occasions. And I think the essence of what my uncle was known to that person almost immediately. You know, he had numerous relationships with Gedolei Yisrael, real Gedolei Yisrael. And of course, I'm sure most of you are very aware of the relationship he had with Dov Lifshitz, Zechon Levracha, which was a relationship that he felt he was so undeserving of having. It was beyond it was beyond reason that he was able, he had the good fortune that he was able to be in the presence of someone as great as Rav Dov Lifshitz. He also had an incredible relationship with the Bava Rebbe. The Bava Rebbe was always called about him. He sent shuluchim to see how is he doing. And I think the reason why, and he was fortunate to have those relationships, because what my uncle Henry was and always was from the day that I knew of him until the last day, he had this total beetle, I'd say. He felt that what he was doing, that he had no place other than to be influenced and to serve those around him. But aside from these Gedolei Yisrael, in this room, he felt that everyone in this room who davened with him had such an influence on his life. He told me of the various shiurim that took place in this room. And he talked about and anyone who spoke about it, he'd always just say, this person is a tzaddik. The other person, as a geroisa tzaddik. So he was amongst, in his estimation, he lived here amongst tzaddikim. I'm not sure he was wrong. See, I'm not quite sure he was right. And that was his whole philosophy on what he was. He was amongst tzaddikim. And his avodas Hashem was to absorb and learn from those various tzaddikim that Hashem had put him amongst. So, and I think that was very evident from the first meeting you would have with him. The politeness, the interest, the compliments that he would always give you. But this is all for real. This was what he really was. So there wasn't one part of it that he did not. It was not a put on at all. He meant to be around and to serve and to be helpful and to learn from. I just know one very recent story, which I think, you know, which I knew the outcome, what the outcome was probably very predictable, but nevertheless, it was about 2 years ago when, of course, and his condition was declining, and it was very, very obvious, and it would have been I think a lot in our estimation, those his niece and me as his nephew and others, that he was no longer to live alone. In fact, he should no longer live in the apartment. And this has actually been an ongoing idea that I've had with him for probably the last, certainly since his brother Jack passed away, which is about 8 years ago. And even prior to that, as we are more, as me and my family, I have family, I at this point have numerous grandchildren, Baruch Hashem. We thought he would benefit from maybe having being around those people he wasn't able to get so well acquainted with, only because of the distance and everyone and the scheduling. It would be very hard to build a relationship with our uncle, which we felt would be nice to have. So we always said to him, Uncle Henry, why don't you consider moving maybe a little closer to Brooklyn, maybe? And he said, at one time we spoke about taking an apartment, which was absolutely not even a consideration. But since when Uncle Jack passed away, and of course, really, most recently, 2 years ago, we had a very difficult time with him to convince him that he should not come back home. We didn't feel it would be good for him. We actually felt it would be a life shortening experience if he were to come back here. It was hard for him to take care of himself. So after he did some rehab work in a Brooklyn facility, we spent probably 4 or 5 hours speaking to him. You know, we actually took a trip, one or two trips, to various places where they would offer him some long-term care. And he says, I'll consider it. You know, okay, we'll see. And it came the day where the home where he was doing the short-term care said we can no longer keep him. So we begged him to please consider, even short-term, just try it out. See if you'd like living actually in an area that he would feel comfortable, you know, maybe we're near Bavov, actually, the Hasidim said they're going to come visit and schedule to visit him on a daily basis. A lot of it was planned for him, and he refused. So we brought him back here. He opened the doors of his apartment, He went there, he took, and he didn't take off his coat. He went directly to the walls of his kitchen, and he kissed the walls of that kitchen. And I still thought he was wrong. But then, at the end of the day, I think he was right. I think he was right. And he certainly fooled me, even in the time that he survived since after that. I didn't think it would be possible, but somehow, he was able, he felt this is where he has to be. He said he only moved when God moved him. He moved out of Europe because of the situation, and when Hashem put him here, up here in Washington Heights, here he remained forever. So therefore, and this was a very special minyan to him. I know of this minyan for at least 45 years, and I actually davened there a couple of times. So you were all being part of this yeshiva, and particularly this minyan, had given him his legacy. His legacy was that he served everyone. I think the fact that the whole family came out of Europe was a way of showing the world what a family looked like in Europe. Were intact, the obedience, the Derech Eretz for his parents, that was, it's unbelievable, the amount of Derech Eretz, Kibbutz, Yira, that he showed his, that really all the brothers, but particularly of course Henry and Uncle Jack, what they showed for the, what they taught to those around them, their parents. And I think maybe that was also the purpose of coming here, that there should be some sort of a carryover to what was prior to the war. I really, that's basically what I had in mind to say, that he was a very unique person, and what he accomplished in his life alone, you know, perhaps without a family, nevertheless was, I think, a very, very important contribution that those who, like I said, who just know him a little while, I think can carry forward those lessons they learned from him. So he should be a Melis Yosher for all of us, and of course for all those who knew him so well. And we should have a lichti gan eden.
Amen.
Okay.
I personally remember having similar discussions recently, or fairly recently, with Henry about his being alone and living alone in the apartment, and his response was always, if I moved, I wouldn't be able to come to the minyan. I think it's appropriate to be makir tov two of his shchenim, who really worried about him, were always looking and trying to find out how he's doing, Rabbi and Mrs. Rapp, Yasher Koach, to both of you for worrying about him and talking about his situation with me and trying to improve it. To the rest of you, thank you, Yasher Koach, for coming here. this evening. I hope Reb Henry will be a Melech Yosher for all of us, for his family, for Klal Yisrael, and may we all zoche to Tzuris Tovish and a good gesunden winter. Thank you for coming.
More talk with him. I was in the days I spent losing out the years with him. So I think the last trust him, but the pace actually was with him. Okay. So he has Bruce Lane, that was his name, I remember. I remember when the end of the York was for his parents. So, okay. Yes, I'm playing, but that was the name, right? Yeah. Well, anybody, my name is Lee Hoard.
Svi Hirsch.
Yes, I'm playing. Let's go up all the time. El Mali Rachamim, Shechein, Bamrei, Mamsim, Nil Zachoyin, Al Ganfei Yachchino, the Malois, Kedoshim, Tehoirim, Kizoha, Harakia, Mazirim, Es Nishmas, Av Svi Hirsch, Brim Shalom, Brim Shalom, 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 Bavur, Shem Shpachto, Al Kol Zeh, Spalom, he's not going to be together, but it's Chorus Nishmas, Oy, Benei, Dentei, Menuchos, Oy, Lachain, Baal, Harachamim, Yashti Rei, Upsay, Shekin, Afav, Loi, Lomim, Yitzor, Besor, Chayim, Es Nishmas, Oy, Adoy, Noi, Unach, Vaso, Oy, Bin, Buch, Mishaloy, Mal, Mishkav, Oy, Bin, Noi, Mar, Amen.
Good afternoon.
I'm going to work a little bit.